Hello, my name is Alex, and welcome to the Between Sessions podcast.
Why are you such a retard?
No, seriously. That was the point.
You have one job. You have one job to intro it.
That was the point.
I do such an amazing job.
No,
and
shit.
You come up with this. I don't even know what the hell that was. You sound like a...
That's the point, dude.
That's the point that you have to come across as an idiot? Why?
My name is Alex, and today I'm here with Hamish. And Claudio, our special guest.
Welcome, Claudio.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Glad to be on.
Welcome to the podcast, Claudio.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Seriously.
Between Sessions with Hamish and Alex.
Perfect. That's how I do
and
it.
And today we have with us Claudio.
I mean, how much intro do you want to go?
Okay. You want to do it 9 times over?
That's good. That's a good intro.
Yeah.
That's good intro.
Okay, great.
Let's go. Okay. You got to add a bit of sauce to it.
Sauce. Things got sauce in the brain. Anyway, guys, like Alex was trying to say... is we welcome back to another version of Between the Sessions. We are with the one and only Claudio Conte.
Yo, Adrian.
This is why 90% of our podcast is just full rubbish. The first start of it, there's just nothing important.
The first 5 minutes.
Anyway, we're here with Claudio. He's one of the trainers at Alter Ego. And I guess we were kind of getting sick of just having Alex and Hamish on the podcast. I'm sick of you.
A bit of fresh.
Stupid beard looks like a fucking magician's fucking carpet. Or shit. So we thought we'd get Claudio in to maybe shed some light on his journey as a personal trainer and maybe some of the challenges he faced and maybe he still faces and how he has overcome and, you know, why he took up personal training and, you know, how he trains his clients and the reasons behind that. So, Claudio, welcome.
Thank you. Awesome to be on.
So, Claudio, take me back. When I remember you wanting to work at Alter Ego, I couldn't get rid of you. You called me and messaged me and you pretty much annoyed the shit out of me for about 2 weeks.
Sounds until like pretty I... much everyone in your
so
life.
Nothing much has really changed in the... 4 to 5 years. How long have you been here?
You know what? We forgot to celebrate at the gala. It was officially 5 years on Saturday.
Oh, was it?
Really? At the gala?
At the gala.
Shit.
Since I first walked up these steps.
5 years. Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
I'm definitely feeling my age because of that. Those 5 years have aged me immensely.
I'd say in the last year you were aged immensely, but anyway.
Yeah, so when Claudio first came on, he literally badgered me nonstop, messaged me, called me until I finally booked him in to come and see me. And
he had your number on private.
He did, and I like blocked his calls and everything. And,
did we have that technology back then, like just to block a number and never calls you again?
I'm about to block you in a minute, but the technology. Well, what do you think it was, the 1920s? What an idiot.
Did they have that though?
What do you mean, of course they did?
Like on iPhone.
Mobile phones have been out for a couple hundred years, dude.
Get fucked.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
If you listen this, the year is 2122.
That's right. It's now, we're talking in the future.
That was quick, mate.
It's 2090. So he annoyed the crap out of me anyway. He showed me immense determination to be a personal trainer, even though at the time he technically wasn't. And then from then on, I took him under my wing and he diligently learned and worked on himself, to become a pretty awesome trainer. So Claudio, talk to us about that time. You know, I think most trainers get into the industry sometimes coming from another industry or having ideas of being something else. So talk us through you know, becoming a personal trainer or choosing to become a personal trainer and what those, you know, first couple of years have been like for you.
Awesome. Okay. Well, back then, I guess I was working at a factory job back then. And my main thing was when I actually decided to take up personal training, like most trainers, I really enjoyed my own health and fitness. I grew up with martial arts.
Yeah.
So as a child, and then when I did decide to take it on board, I actually got shut down to not do it. The typical stigma about, you know, it's saturated.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's a personal trainer. There's no money in it. And
they said it was saturated then. Man, saturated then. Imagine now.
I know.
Holy crap. So was that like a family member or a friend?
Tell us
a story about, guys, I'm going to train people for a living and then talk to us through that conversation.
So it was actually someone I really looked up to. It was my boss at the time. And I really was a bit nervous to speak to him about it. And then when I decided to tell him, he straight away shut me down. And I actually didn't do the course for another 6 months because of it.
Good Lord.
Yeah. And it was pretty tough. But, you know, you don't know what you don't know, especially back then. So I just trusted that his word for it. And there was just this tipping point where I knew that I needed to do something at it. So I remember, I think on a lunch break, I just went online. First course that popped up, I paid for it, jumped on there. I didn't really have time at the start. I was living out of home.
So what was the change for you? Because obviously you've gone off and gone, I'm going to be a personal trainer. Yeah. A boss or a mentor or someone that was important to you has gone, Claudio, that was a useless idea.
Mm.
And then 6 months later, what's changed? And you've gone, stuff it, I'm going to do it anyway. What happened?
From memory, it was my main one. There was another individual who just said I wouldn't amount to anything more than a freezer hand at the time.
Man, the haters.
I got so much hate. The haters, and I was, man.
Where were you living in? Melton?
Well, I was working in Reservoir, so it was a bit tough area of it.
Fridge door.
I was living in a fridge door at that time, so man, your life would have been shit then. That's cold, dude.
That's cold.
Oh, God.
That's one dad joke, yep.
Yeah. Jesus.
So, yeah, so tell us.
Yeah, so I think there was this fire inside me that was just like, you know what, screw you all. I'm just going to go for it. I mean, it's all I really did. And once I got into it, I remember I lived near a commercial gym. So I went there and the mentor that I was assigned, deep down, even though I didn't know much back then, the way they took me through a session with one person who was like a, I think she was like an 18-year-old girl, and then like a 50, 60-year-old male, she literally took them through the same workout for the first session. And somewhere deep inside me was like, this is wrong. I knew, even though I didn't know much, I'm still learning and everything, I knew that something was wrong. And I said to myself that one day I was going to find a studio somewhere where there was going to be these high-end coaches that are kind of like masters, like nobody really knows them unless the people who know them sort of things. And I was just going to learn the proper way. And of course, one thing led to another with that. And it was when I saw the ad up, I was already in a pretty bad state. Financially, I'd lost my job. Mm. And it was kind of, the mentality then was, it was do or die. This had to work no matter what.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my cover letter wasn't even a cover letter, if you remember.
It was the worst.
It was just me begging.
Yeah, literally it was begging.
I literally begged. I said what my situation was. That I was just, I was still in the study process, but what I was willing to do. And, you know, you gave me a call and that was my sign. And I lived 40 minutes away. I was your furthest away trainer.
You were.
And at the time I had a bar job, so I was only living on a Saturday and Sunday paycheck.
I remember the bar job.
Oh, sorry, a Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And when the moment that I came in, it was, you had the mentorship that I was looking for, especially in the spiritual growth, because I had been introduced to it through my own epiphanies in life, but I never really knew much beyond that.
Yeah.
And opposed to other mentors who were just looking at me as more of a cash making kind of guy, you literally turn around and, you know, you saw something more for that.
So basically you're saying I'm pretty fucking awesome. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't use those words and this is
recorded. Let's just take that. But... let's just take that as what he said.
No, don't.
Thank you for that.
Give it to him for that. I'm good
at... So let's let the record be known that pretty fucking awesome, Hamish. Let's just sum that up. That's pretty much where that conversation was going. Cool.
Pop that fucking ego. Sometimes.
Just call it alter. Craig.
That meme with Owen Wilson and wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. So you start your career as a personal trainer. You start working at Alter Ego. You start building up your clientele. You start transitioning from living in a freezer and working at a bar to now, you know, running a semi-successful business. And I say semi because it takes time.
Correct.
What then were the challenges that you faced as a trainer growing your business, evolving your business, and then finding the place that you're at now?
Yeah. So I guess the first thing and foremost was having a clear, distinctive goal to compare and try and aim for. So it's interesting because before, like, and we do this with clients when we set benchmarks and helping clients, instead of focusing on a number or, you know, how you want to look like, you focus on a certain, like, how much you're going to lift, because your body will transition its visual form in that sense. So for myself, it was when I learned about your first year and got the exact numbers of what you did,
yep,
that I had now something to aim for.
Yep.
And I really wanted to match that in my first year.
Yep.
And that was my thing. So that was a massive drive for me to be able to do that. I guess the first challenges that I faced was, one, most of my networks were about an hour away because I grew up in the West.
Yep.
Two, living 40 minutes away, it was a new area. And obviously I had time to be, I had to stay here. You know, I stayed here between like 10 a.m. till sometimes 3 in the morning, long just days. Learning. Everything you set for me, I did. Even if I failed miserably, yep, but all amazing work found. Yeah. My main thing was, how do I become the trainer that gets people to travel an hour out to see me for 45 minutes,
yep,
twice a week?
Yep.
And why would they extend going to 5 gyms in the vicinity of like 5-10 kilometers to do all that?
Yep.
So I had that mindset. I believe that from that, I did a, like, most trainers were giving a free session. So I said, well, I'm going to go above and beyond because it's all about trust. I gave away 4 free sessions,
yep,
you know, and into nutrition, mindset, I went deep into all that. And it was just a lot of proof in the first couple of weeks of how much that changed. And
so what do you think was the driving factor that got those clients to travel or to sign up with you initially? I mean, everyone can do different types of offers, yep, and different types of marketing tactics and strategies, mm, but they don't always work the same for everybody. So what was kind of the formula that worked for you in the end?
Yeah. So my thing was, I basically went in and then out. So being massive on the holistic side of things, I actually took on board every element from nutrition to the fitness element to mindset to lifestyle. I even would teach clients how to get promotions and,
yeah,
you know, had it. I even took a client down to a restaurant and walked in and pretended to get a job for myself to show them all these different elements.
Mm.
Because I think when, you know, when we're looking at health and you come to see a trainer, you're seeing them for like an hour and a half in a week, opposed to how many hours in a week, like, what is it, like 100 or so?
Yeah,
70, 80,
a lot.
But, yeah.
Thanks. And thanks, Alex, yeah, for you.
Where's your math?
I'm the math whiz.
200.
$9 billion.
$9 billion.
That there's a lot of external things that can happen. So being a 24/7, I called myself the trainer on your shoulder 24/7. That I was always contactable way beyond. And that was my massive difference. And it took about 3 to 5 months. And then really things just exploded,
yep,
the proof of what my clients had achieved in, yep, such a short period of time just spread words across my network.
Yep.
So that was my...
So it seems to be a little bit more than just fitness per se.
Correct.
But there seems to be another layer of coaching or maybe being of service on a deeper level for clients. Yep. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. You know, I had an experience in my first year of personal training, because I did really push a lot about the health of the mind. And I remember this psychologist had, I guess, verbally attacked me for what I was doing. And they said, you shouldn't be able to speak to that. And my thought process was, you know, clients were coming to me about learning how to be happy. That was my main, yeah, my main difference.
Yeah.
And it was thinking, well, you know, that particular person was going through a lot of, you know, unhappiness and things in their life. And then I realized when a client turns to a trainer, majority of it is they come because of pain. That's the big, yeah, one that starts.
Yeah.
You know, they say, I want to, like, something happens in their life that says, I need to change. And the first thing that most people do for change is their health.
Yeah.
So of course there's going to be a perspective where something internal needs to, even though they might not be fully aware at the start of it, yeah, which is fine, but and an evolution of coaching of an actual trainer would be that, to be able to assist and help them in that element.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that Alter Ego was completely nailed in the head opposed to everyone else.
Yeah.
So that's when I realized, okay, you know, there's a psychologist and there's a personal trainer and that's cool. But you know what? If that's how people are seeing me as, and that's why they're coming, then I'm going to embody that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Say what you will, but,
yeah,
you know, proof is in the pudding kind of thing. I guess
the results, yeah.
That's right.
Dictated.
So some psychologist verbally attacked you for doing psychology stuff and it pushed you further into doing
Correct.
Yeah. Pretty much.
There's a bit of a theme running here, isn't there? Yeah. There's a bit of a theme.
Someone says we want him to do something.
So we need him to do something. We just need to use reverse psychology. Don't get me a cup of coffee, all right? Get me a coffee. You don't even know how to make a coffee, all right?
Two shots of it.
You'll never be good enough to make me a coffee.
Start my rant.
Comes back in with, that was a really delicious coffee. Thank you, Claudia. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. So definitely a theme there with you. That's good knowledge for me because now I know how to get shit done through you. So moving on the timeline. So business is great. Things are going really well. What other kind of challenges or what other things or how did things change as time went on?
So I think that a massive one is personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, talk to me about that. How did that change for you?
So at the start, like being a smaller frame-based trainer, a majority of people already have a perception of what a trainer would look like or should look like. So there's this battle and it was completely new for me because, you know,
if people haven't seen Claudio, he basically looks like Smeagol. So
wow.
That's what he started off as.
You're the Hobbit here.
I knew that you were going to say something mean, but then when you said Smeagol, I was like, shit. This guy's going down.
Wow.
I'm just giving a visual representation so people understand.
You know, I actually make a really good Smeagol voice.
Do you do it? Do it.
Oh, no. You go, wait, what's he say? Say something.
Know. My precious.
Oh. Precious.
My precious.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Get in there. Go down. Get in real deep. Oh,
yeah, he's a Stephen.
Fuck. Dude. We're going to have to put a warning on this one.
Explicit lyrics. What the hell? Jeez, this is PG, okay? We've got kids listening to this.
You've been swearing your head off since the start.
I don't remember.
Bullying as well.
I don't remember that at all. No, I've never said any bad words at all.
I don't recall swearing.
I don't recall that either. Anyway, take us through.
Oh, yeah, cool. So, yeah. Okay, so yeah, so that was a massive one. And I guess really figuring out how to go about that, my thing was, you know, my main background was a lot of body weight training. You know, it's not so much weights. And then even though I got heavy into it for a while.
You got pretty big for a while.
I did. Yeah. And I put on 10 kilos with it, like just with the, and I got was lifting was pretty heavy.
Programming?
Thanks to Alex. Yeah,
I programmed.
It was the Alex program, yeah.
And the thing was, though, I realized that once I got to that, my body just didn't like it. Like my kind of training is more, you know, movement. I love like the whole parkour themes, just trying to be able to like climb over and get over things really quickly. I'm just fast.
Yeah.
But that just was a different level. It slowed me down and,
yeah,
you know, it was different. And that was one of the, this, when I decided, you know what, I'm embracing how I am and who I, like how I do. And I'm strong in so many areas that, you know, people just would never assume. So when people ask me now, it's like, well, you know, I never say bodybuilding because that's not my thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's true. You got to be the part if you want to, I don't know, passionate about bodybuilding and always would prefer.
It's kind of a new level of acceptance of yourself, isn't it?
Correct.
Because you're right. Like there is definitely popular trends in fitness and it's almost like unless you're loving the popular trend, you're not really part of fitness. And I guess from a trainer's perspective, when you've got so many clients going, well, I want a bodybuilding program. Mm. It's kind of hard to sometimes go, well, I don't really know that or like that or want to do that
That's
stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So, and it's funny because now we've seen a big shift the other way where all this parkour, martial arts, functional training
is more common.
In the same token though, there's been a big rise in say powerlifting and that sort of thing.
CrossFitting
not as much now. I don't know.
hit a high point. Yeah, and I think that sort of ushered in the functional training side of it.
Well, yeah. I think what's happened is with CrossFit, and this is my only personal opinion, I think a lot of people got into CrossFit because it is fun and there is a great community side behind it.
Yeah.
But being a rehab trainer myself, the amount of injuries was ridiculous.
I think CrossFit's sort of transitioning to a sport.
Well, I think like so too now. If you've
ever seen the CrossFit games, it's huge.
Exactly right.
It's huge, man.
And I think now they're people are really looking at it as proper athletes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
realizing that that's going to come with a certain level of pushing the body past what it's... Yeah. Like push into performance as opposed
like
to longevity.
Like every other sport, though.
Like every other sport.
Yeah, you always have to push past.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the CrossFit gyms now are becoming a lot more considerate about rehab and mobility and functionality because all those elements help a better CrossFitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're not going to the CrossFit games, you've got to include that stuff.
Well, you're just not going to be able to do those movements without causing some sort of...
Yeah, without something breaking.
Tear.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So now you've moved to more... So. Okay, so now now your training now consists of more...
I go by animal-based training, so...
Okay.
A lot of...
So you're drinking milk from the bowl.
You know it.
You're shitting on trees? I'm not sure. Do you want to explain to me?
No, don't look under your desk.
I was wondering what that smell was, and I thought maybe it was just Alex, but now I'm quite sure. Now I'm certain that Claudio has shitty
pants.
No, it's
still part Alex. No,
so talk to us about animal movement. So you're obviously not defecating in your car. So what is it that you're doing training wise?
So I basically break down my movements around for animals that really just like highlight different areas. So a lot of strength based movements I call like the lion based kind of workout, where it's just hardcore cardio, but just muscle work, body weight based.
Getting in there.
Yeah.
Do you roar like a lion? Is that part of it?
You know, it's...
He lets some of that deep animalistic...
Rawr.
Frazz out. Rawr. From Alex. Rawr. Like raw, man.
So
there's lions, one of them. What kind of other animals, and how does that work? Like, explain to us a little bit more detail what this looks like.
Go into detail.
Detail of a day-to-day what a workout for
detail
you.
Detail your day one.
So it'd be like, it's all time-based. So just how long can I be under the time of just doing these workouts nonstop?
Time under tension?
Yeah, time under tension and just working.
And what, like, explain to me a lion. Like, I don't understand. Like, you're you know, on all fours?
Yeah, so it'd be like, for example, one of my starting workouts would be like army crawls.
Yeah.
It'd be like inchworms, which is kind of like walking planks and, you know, quadrupedal movements, which for most people is like a very standard of a bear crawl.
Yeah. So like locomotion.
Like locomotion based. Yeah. And then it's just slowly a lot more like jumping over like that kind of obstacles. And it transitions into more of what I call like the panda style based training where drop and roll and in every direction and be able to just kind of spring everywhere you go. So when you jump off something, how to just kind of utilize the biomechanics of your body to kind of land and then launch.
Yeah, right.
So that you don't just break your knees or, you know, just be still. Like you're always flowing energy through one side of the body to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then that goes towards like what we call the monkey. A lot of like handstands and cartwheels and just controlled movements and swinging. And then into the cat. The balancing, the being able to be train your mind as well. So doing a lot of balancing above ground and then visually seeing, which is pretty powerful, but visually seeing as if you're like on top of a building. You know, there's videos like on you watch on Facebook and how, you know, you see those crazy people
doing handstands on the corner of the Empire State.
And you feel the anxiety.
You want to throw up on your phone. Yeah.
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 Yeah, true.
They came out with conviction. You've done that, haven't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. I can go right there.
Handstand and you're like, I'm not getting stuck.
Shit. Your new iPhone.
That fucking again.
Fuck. Just eight. Yeah. Yeah, cool. So, yeah.
But, just when you're balancing on things and then visually seeing that, you feel your body as if it's real. And your balancing skills just tenfold.
Mm. So, it grounds you a bit?
Yeah, it grounds you and really puts your focus. And when you're just half, you know, like in sort of like a duck stance kind of on a rail, and you're sitting there for 5 minutes and you're thinking, and you're feeling the, you know, the tension on your legs and your mind wants to like start to defocus, you can't because you see that you're going to fall and die essentially.
Yeah. Mm.
So between those four elements is my main thing. And then, of course, we still do, like, I do my compounds and, you know, you got to have your basics, but nothing to, like...
So, like, your deadlift, squat. Or,
bench. You know,
nothing
bench
to really stiffen you up.
Yeah. That's right.
Great. Love it.
I love that.
Yeah. Do you have any questions for Claudia?
I'm
enjoying this.
It's a great conversation.
I'm having a great time.
Great. Okay. Well, maybe give us some. We're gonna finish off shortly, but maybe Claudia, you can give us some. Maybe resources that you would give clients who may be interested or have gone through a similar journey to you in terms of maybe not like the bodybuilding type of thing. And maybe like you are looking to transition to something else.
Yep.
What kind of advice would you give them with from that position going to where you are now?
That's a good question. I think it's for anyone who feels like they don't want to fit in as part of what a lot of the mainstream stuff is out there.
Yeah.
I think it's someone who prefers to be more, not in an environment where there's heaps and heaps of people, but knowing that you can get the results and have uniqueness in training that is not just typical strength, one single movement based what the norm teaches us. And I think that's pretty powerful knowing that. So I think if it's somebody who's completely aware that they want, or that they might not even be aware of it, but that there's something more that in terms of training of what they usually see from like Instagram or whatever the case is, to them to just reach out, especially like, you know, like the things that we do here, all the trainers are so versatile.
We really are. Do you have any resources or books or anything you can point listeners to that they could go and check out, or people that you follow that they could go check out to get more of an idea of this style of training?
Ooh, what about Edo?
He's a good one.
He's
a great one to follow.
So Edo Portal, I think it's IDO.
And then Portal.
Portal.
Yeah.
He also has his movement space thing, Capoeira, which I've done a lot of. But is there anybody else that you can think or recommend so people can go check that out? So,
you know, I mean, to start with, I think a lot of it would be, you always need foundations. So I always go for Paul Check, you know, the standards of functional based movement. In terms of really, they're a bit more high end, but they don't really train. It's just more that they kind of already just do the end things. It's a bit tricky in that kind of sense, but
maybe Gymnastics Bodies might be one of those mid ones, where because some of the stuff is gymnastics esque. And maybe some fundamentals people could go to get some foundation work before they start throwing themselves into anything too difficult.
There's another guy I follow, I think it's Primal.Swolger.
He does
a lot of like primal movements, like crawling and that type of stuff. But he also does a lot of like kettlebell workouts, are really good. They're good for mobility and still strength based, but involves the primal side of it.
So he's
a good one to follow on Instagram.
Cool. And maybe just finally to finish off, Claudia, any like supplementation you take or anything else from a nutrition or recovery standpoint that you would give as advice to your clients?
I mean, besides the usual standards of what we currently, you know, take, you know, your ZMAs, I always prepare clients prior to coming into training with, if they're running and pretty much just like straight from work here, as long as they got like a banana protein shake, something to get them to get through the workout prior. I think that pre and post are very big for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's super, super important with it.
Majority
of it is, you know, I myself take just a dairy free based whey protein, you know, the No Whey brand.
Yeah,
they're pretty good.
Just to keep yourself.
I think good sleep, good water, and most importantly is that you need stress management. I'm a big believer that doesn't matter how good your nutrition is or how hard you're training, but if you're under stress, none of it, at the end of the day, none of that all matters, because it all domino effects.
Yep.
And always domino effects to stress.
I agree. What kind of tools would you recommend for de-stressing?
Well, here's a great resource. One of the first resources I always take clients to is a guy named Glenn Harold.
Yep.
And he's a hypnotherapist who does an amazing job with meditation.
Yep.
And he's got just so many different, he goes into different frequencies of the mind. So he can focus on like intuition work. If people have smoking habits, he focuses into those areas. And it's just based on a vibrational frequency level. Mm. I'm not sure if you've spoken about much about that yet.
No, or, I don't think I have.
Not on the podcast.
No, yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, maybe we can get Claudia back for that.
Yep. But that's a good topic. That is, I've always found with that starting point, the shifts that happen for clients, like they'll get knocked out and go to sleep. Like there was one particular one when I was training my intuition up that I listened, went for 40 minutes. Every 20 minutes in, I'd always be out like a light.
Mm.
And when you actually listen to it fully, it's full esoteric guidance that they take through. And it does wonders. Yep. So that's one of the main things to start. And then there's an evolution of, you know, the self-help books, especially a lot of the stuff that we read and look into. That's dependent on the type of person where they're at.
And any non-meditation-based things that you do to de-stress or to cultivate that kind of environment for your clients or yourself?
So for myself, always, or like I've got a nice backyard in terms of a couple of logs. It just looks like I'm out in nature.
Yep.
Just every day, just getting out in nature, at least even if it's 10 minutes. Reading, meditating. And meditation doesn't necessarily mean just sit there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're just focusing your thoughts and being present in the moment and just quieting down. Like, that's all it is. Do it with your eyes open.
Yeah.
But the evolution is to be able to walk and take that with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for me, that's probably the biggest one. I guess. And then also listening, like music's a big part of everyone's lives. And language is a huge one. So the music that you listen to and the language that they say in that music can play a massive reflection on what you are thinking day to day. And, you know, that's why a lot of...
having an impact on your outcomes and results.
So a lot of meditative music throughout the day. And, you know, I think that's important too. Yeah.
Claudio, we would like to thank you for spending the time with Alex and myself today. It's always wonderful to chat to you, and it's great to hear your journey in your words. And thank you for the tips to clients and members listening so they can help themselves with a range of things. So if people want to find you or check you out, where can they go to, like, what's your social tags, etc.?
So I mainly use Facebook for my Everything Life philosophies, which is a lot of self-help posts that I've done. And just,
so what's the website to that?
You would go facebook.com/CDY Productions.
CDY Productions.
C for cat, D for dog, Y for yacht.
Yep.
And you can also go to cdyproductions.com.au, which is my website. Yep. And that's kind of like my personal, got a lot of mindset kind of base work, but you can easily find that in the featured album. So you don't want to add me and be creepy.
Yeah, that would be creepy. Yeah.
You can just go to my Everything Life featured album and have a look through all the things that I've posted. I've had a lot of people message me about the things that I've posted months and months ago.
Yeah.
About that, just things that have helped them. Great. So yeah, that's my main one.
Beautiful. Done. Thank you, Claudio. It's been a pleasure. Thank you everyone for listening. I'm sure you got a lot out of that amazing podcast. As always, you can find us on Spotify and on iTunes. We always love feedback. And you sharing our podcast out there so we can get to more and more people. Until next week.
Yep.
Have a lovely weekend.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.